Hey there, I'm Sandy Scarlatta, and welcome to the Happiness Solve podcast. Twice a week, we explore the journey to finding true happiness by sharing inspiring stories, practical tips, and insightful conversations with some of today's leading experts. But we don't just scratch the surface. We dive deep into the real grit of what it takes to live a genuinely happy life. Whether you're looking to improve your well-being, enhance your relationships, or simply add more joy to your life, you're in the right place. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's episode. Because happiness is a choice, and the choice is yours. Toria Rader, such a pleasure to have you on today. And I learned that we're like practically neighbors. I love that.
Now, well, hey, like attracts like, Sandy. It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I love when I get to interview people and they live nearby and then we can keep connecting and collaborate. And I love the organization that you're bringing to the DC metro area. We'll talk about that in a minute. But for the audience, Victoria Rader is pioneering quantum personal development. I love that. Can you tell the audience like what your backstory is and how you got to where you are today?
Well, you know, I'll start with precisely that thing because it was born so beautifully out of the most recent work that I was doing. You know, I actually was a part of an amazing project with Greg Reed. And Greg Reed is somebody who did 150 books, including 3 Feet from Gold and Thoughts Become Things.
Oh, Greg Reed, yes. Amazing. 3 Feet from Gold. I say that all the time. And people are like, what's 3 Feet from Gold? And I'm like, oh my gosh.
And so, you know, and he's just a filmmaker. And in any way, just so Greg had this incredible opportunity that was called personal development. His kind of song, his swan song, he says, his last book. And I was a part of that amazing project. And as we were interviewing different people in personal development, it was really fascinating. It was growing us and it was an amazing opportunity. But what was born during that, I said, Greg, you know, what I actually do is I don't do personal development. I do quantum personal development. And so he was the first one that got to introduce it as a chapter in his book and quoted it. And that was the actual precise moment of the birth of this concept. And so what the concept was, in all of personal development, it is mind over matter. No matter how that cookie crumbles, yep. It's mind over matter. And so what I've observed is that it very often develops very keen, very successful, and very running on empty and lonely people. They're very personally developed away from meaningful, deep relationships full of love. It's fascinating. I then actually sat down and I went down the list of the men that I admire, adore, and followed, you know, Jim Rohn. No personal life. And so fascinating gap that, you know, that came into my awareness. And all the work that I do is the work with quantum field of possibilities or energy of love. The fancy word for quantum mechanics of the field of potentiality is love. Life originating vibrant emotion. The energy that creates all life is love. That's just my simplest definition of that. And what I've identified quantum personal development to be then is to the degree that you surrender your mind to love and you surrender your matter to your mind, your life is no longer personally developed. It is harmoniously developed. It is infinitely developed. And it is developed in a fulfilling way. So that is how that little nugget was born very naturally from years of practicing of energy work and personal development and, you know, success principles, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I was taking a few notes. So when you say that what you'd noticed was that some of these people had no personal life, can you just dive into that a little bit? Because I have a follow-up question, but I just want to hear your take on that first.
Because if you look at any development, you will develop towards or you will develop away, right? You will either develop your ego or you develop your soul. And very often, mm-hmm. personal development defaults to developing your ego. You're better than. You're responsible for your results. You know, when I speak, this is so powerful. I'll speak to an audience and I'll say, all of you who set a goal and reached the goal, raise your hand. That's usually everybody in the audience. And then I'll say, all of you who've done the same amount of work on a different goal, that didn't reach it, raise your hand. And it's every single person. And I say, so I'm sorry, you're now very confusing to me. Is setting goals not how we achieve them? Where is the gap? And the gap is, we're not responsible for the outcome. We can't claim the outcome. We're only responsible for the effort and for complete detachment from the outcome that frees us to live in a miracle. And so the ego wants to say, I did this. I developed it. Credit to me. And the soul says, no, fool. You've done your best and you got blessed. And on this one, you didn't. And so that would be the gap of understanding.
Wow. Yeah. I've noticed that a lot in my own life, actually. And I mean, I've been on this journey for over 35 years now, being this, you know, self-help junkie, right? And just attending, you know, even now, like I had a workshop last night that went until 9:30. And on a, you know, and I could have gone out with my girlfriends, you know, my husband's out of town. I could have gone out with my girlfriends. I'm like, no, like this is important to me. And what I realized through some work I did in quantum personal development, that's not what she called it, but I just finished working with a coach for 18 months. And it was, I hired her to help me with media. And so that was, but in the process, we did a lot of quantum, you know, work in the quantum energy field and whatnot. And I realized, like toward the end of last year, that I really wasn't surrendering. And so surrender is like my word for 2025, because on a daily basis, like,
wait, pause, because if I'm not pause, Sandy, my theme for 2025 is surrender to love, girl. You tell me this is not synchronous.
Whoa, I love it. I love it. Ooh, goosebumps. Yeah, because I realize, like, if I'm not surrendering, then ego is control. It is controlling everything. And in this workshop I was in last night, it wasn't really a workshop. It was, there was a brilliant, amazing man who was on my show a couple years ago named Ken Stone. And he calls himself a soul archaeologist. And he calls it a transmission. It was like a deep meditation, but it was like this transmission. And the whole theme of that was surrender. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, so that theme is popping up a lot. And I think that not just for you and me, all humanity needs to learn to surrender to love.
You know, it's a topic such a near dear to my heart. Years ago, I joke, not kind of funny way anymore, but I joke that I'm Ukrainian, and you can see on the news we don't surrender well. We just, it's a do or die in the kind of nation. It's I'm free or I'm dead. There is zero surrender.
Right. Now you can say that joke, but nobody else can.
Nobody else can say that. It's a do or die for me, you know? But it is surrender to what, right? I think a lot of people misunderstand surrender, because if you don't surrender your free will.
Right.
You don't surrender your freedom. You don't surrender your joy. So what is surrender? And I remember sitting in a sacred place for me, my temple, about 10 years ago, and pondering on this word. And I'm sitting and I'm praying and I'm meditating. And I say, this whole surrender thing, I see it everywhere pop up. I mean, help me out here, because I'm trying, you know, I'm trying. And I literally feel the divine prompting. I feel the spirit say, you're sitting on the bench, now lift up your feet. And I'm like, okay, I couldn't be any more weird than I am. I always say it's, I just show up in my full, complete weirdness, you know? So I'm on the bench. I lift up my feet.
I love you already. I'm like, I tell people, I'm like, I'm kind of a weirdo. Like, you know, like I may not look like this, like woo-woo person, but I am, I'm kind of a weirdo.
Exactly.
Like, go on.
So I'm sitting and I'm lifting my feet up, right? And all of a sudden this complete freedom of realization comes in. You're now surrendering your weight to the bench so that you can be fully supported. That is all I'm asking. Surrender to my grace so fully and completely that you can be supported in everything you do. And it was just such a palpable feeling to my body. So my little cells encoded that, and then it became expansive, it became free. And my signature for years has been surrender to love. But yet this is the first year that the theme for the year, which I've set for 2 decades, has been surrender to love. So I couldn't agree more with you that I think we're invited to expand that as an invitation for anybody who wants to be supported through what is yet ahead of us.
Beautiful. A good friend of mine who I'm in his community, and he was my coach for quite some time as well. He always says, and I love this because this, for me, this is an easy way and it's a very simple way to understand what we're talking about when it comes to surrendering. And he says, marry the process, divorce the outcome. Mm-hmm. Right? Because a lot of people are like, well, you can't just surrender, like, you know, nothing will happen. It's like, it's not about not taking action. It's about taking action and releasing those attachments, you know, mm-hmm. letting go of the outcome, of your perceived outcome, and just surrendering your will to God, the universe, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, love, like whatever you want to call it, and recognizing
Sandy,
thy will be done, not mine.
Sandy, will you allow for me to please forgive me for interrupting you? Because this, I think, is the problem. We have mistaken creator, the source, with the created, the universe. And at least from my point, I don't want to be associated with a message that surrendering to the universe, which is the structure of unemotional laws that either punish or prosper based on your following and fulfilling the laws, versus surrendering to divine creator, who has created the system of these laws, that those that choose not to surrender to infinite love and grace have to wrestle the laws. And so at least for me, for the clarity, it's very important to say surrender to your creator.
Yes.
Master the laws, play with the laws, learn from the laws, but do not surrender to universe. It is not the same as the creator who has created it. I would be out of alignment of how I've been shown this clarity.
Sure.
So forgive me for inserting that.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
All good. It's all good. You know, I think that I always like to preface it with that because everybody has their own belief system. Yes. And wherever you are in your path at this very moment, what feels right to you,
yes,
that's your truth. And it may change down the road. So I just kind of use a generic kind of thing so that people, because I don't want to make anybody wrong for their belief system, right? Because I'm not here to make anybody wrong. I'm here to, you know, we're here to empower everybody. But I love that. I love that. That's so beautiful.
You just will explain to some people this question people ask, you know, why bad things happen to good people? And the answer is because good people are ignorant of basic laws of the universe. And God, the creator, greater world designer, the source, cannot violate the universal laws. So it's just such a subtle help then. I think it's a very merciful and hopeful understanding to understand that, you know,
No, I love that. You know, and the thing is, yeah, bad things happen to good people all the time, mm-hmm. you know, myself included. I'm sure you've had plenty of things. And the thing is you have to reach a point in your journey that you recognize that things are happening for you, not to you. You know, in the moment, it feels like it's happening to you. Yeah, of course. It's like, ugh. But then when you sit with it, you can be like, no, this happened for me. And as a result, I don't know, I just feel like every time I go through something traumatic, because I've had dozens of traumatic things happen since I was in the womb, right? Like when you work through that, you reach a point where you're for me, and my experience anyway, this may not be everybody else's, my experience is that by working through the trauma, especially the childhood trauma, my spirituality, my relationship with the divine improves and I get closer. And I feel like, I don't know. I studied the Course in Miracles for about 15 years. Uh-huh. I would drive to Arlington every Tuesday night for a class and everything. It was at somebody's home, and that was his existence, was that he just studied the Course in Miracles and would teach a group of people, you know, once a week. But you know, that's what it talks about there. It's like, you know, we were separated and we're getting closer. Every time you experience things, you get closer to divine.
You know, it's just the synchronicities and alignments are just very beautiful for me. And, you know, in 2019, I had this beautiful office. You know, I still do, by the way, I still have it. And you will know where it is. It's in Burke, because we're near each other. A gorgeous studio. And I was teaching a lot of different seminars. They were selling out, even though it comfortably sits 20 people, you know, running out of space. And I have this beautiful prompting, take everything online. And I say, well, that's kind of strange. I have this space. But having not listened to the prompting this time, I was like, okay. So on January 20, 2020, I launched what is now 5-year-old community of Quantum Freedom. And I moved all the offers there. And of course, then the world shut down and my whole business was transformed. But the very first 52-week course that I did for that community, Sandy, was the Course in Miracles. And so what we did, it's just so beautiful to me when you say it. So what we did is every week I would meet and I would scan people's energy for any blocks that disallow the message of the week. And we started shifting them. And then it became a healing space at a time of calamity where we witnessed miracles, where people in India that didn't have a luxury to argue for against the vaccines, they were just dying, to be able to be healing those spaces from this place of the group. And it became the most sacred place of miracles. And so when you say you've done it for 15 years, yes, another soul connection. Those that haven't done it yet, it's a beautiful place to start, to explore, to deepen wherever you are on it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't studied it very much in the past 10 years, but you know, it's so funny. Life happens when you're busy making other plans. And I went through a divorce in 2011 and went back to corporate. I had been doing workshops all over the DC metro area since the late 90s. And so I went back to corporate and I've been in and out of corporate for over 40 years. And it's so interesting how things turn. And it was like for so many years being a single mother. And then I got remarried and, you know, life happens and, you know, this and that happens. And I feel like I'm finally getting back to where I was in 2011, like spiritually, you know what I mean? Like for so many years, I was in survival mode, like literally in survival mode. I don't talk about this a whole lot on the show. You know, I've probably mentioned it here and there. People who follow me will know this about me. You know, 18 months after my divorce, my ex-husband was driving intoxicated and was involved in an accident and two people were killed and he went to prison for 7 years.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was 7 years of like, talk about fight or flight in survival mode. Like my nervous system was so, just because I had, you know, my son was 13 when the accident happened. And so you're like, oh my gosh, you know, like they don't give you a manual on how to raise a child, let alone living in Loudoun County, Virginia. As you know, it's like, you know, one of the wealthiest counties in the United States. And I've got child who's just like, oh my gosh, you know, my father's in prison. And it was just a very interesting time of my life. And I certainly learned a lot. But now it's so great that I'm like, have come full circle. And I feel like it's taken this long to get back and heal all of that stuff that came up, you know, for so many years.
That's very profound. You know, I think for me, when you know, and you so vulnerably share, I think for me and for so many of us is to realize that it's not linear, logical, where this period of my life, I was suffering and now I'm a hero, that hero journey is not a true thing because there are months, there are years, but on a scope of a day, you will have to face all levels of development. You will have to go from survival to significance every single day in a different way. You know, being Ukrainian, when the war started, I would have PTSD every time the phone rang. Because having lost the first few people, the phone would ring. And I would have a full-blown PTSD response on picking up the phone. So I had to apply every single skill I've ever taught daily. I still do. And so I think it's just, we don't talk about this enough, is that you can be in a place of your significance by facing moments of survival every single day. And that is the only way. life doesn't go away. It doesn't disappear. There isn't a happily ever after. There is, I am happy here now, despite anything and everything that I have to overcome daily. That is the point of freedom, and that is the point of joy, right? And so I'm so grateful that we have this conversation, because I do think, especially when people look at you and they say, oh, it's easy, they've arrived now, they don't know what they're, you know, and it's going back to life every single day. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, we're always challenged every single day. And it goes back to what you were saying at the very beginning, it's mind over matter, because we have a choice as to the thoughts that we think. We have a choice, right? Because the thoughts are going to come in, and you have a choice as to, are you going to react to that thought? Are you going to, you know, ruminate in it? Are you going to hang out in that state? Because a lot of people do, you know? I've gone through periods like that in my life too, and you recognize it and you work through it and whatnot. And you know, the thing is a lot of times, and it's sad, like people don't want to do the work. They don't want to do the work. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. Right?
Well, and I think a lot of it is subconscious. I think even if you want to, Bob Proctor used to call it knowing doing gap. You know what you want, but you're not doing. You don't know why you're not doing it. And hence comes guilt and shame, which pushes you even further into not knowing why you're doing it. And so giving yourself grace and understanding that the self-sabotage is a result of deep subconscious programming that came as a result of your upbringing, as your genetic makeup, and as a common conscious makeup. And that any one of those three could have penetrated into your psyche to such depth that even if you have a desire, that desire alone might not be enough, that you do need to find, release, and remove the heavy block, you know, on top of that. Because what I really have come to believe, you know, I've done over 20,000 individual sessions and over 1,000 and over 1,000 audiences. And so this is what I've come to believe. And I love how you reframe that. This is the truth I've come to know, right? For me, from that experience, is that I've never met a person who's not doing their very darnest best with what they have.
Right. That's right.
I just haven't. I mean, I get emotional. I just haven't. From where they are and from what they believe their causes in life are, they're doing the very best they're capable of. And so then the luxury for us becomes, how do we increase their capacity to do their best?
Right.
Not how do we make them do their best. They're doing their best. How do we increase that capacity? How do we free their infinite worth? You know?
So, yeah. Beautiful. I love that. So I'd love to give the audience some tips, like simple things that people can apply in their life right now. What would you say are your top three strategies, tips that people can do to help them, you know, be the light you were born to be? That I see that on your website, right? Because that's what we all want, right? I think, like you said, I think most people want to be the best versions of themselves, and sometimes they don't have the tools or whatever, and it is hard. I know for myself, there's plenty of things I want to change in my life, and I'm not doing it because it's too hard. Yeah. Like lifting weights, for me, that's hard. It's not physically hard, but mentally, it's like, ugh, it's hard. Like, I don't want to do it, right? And that's been a block that I've had probably my entire life. And I know, okay, we'll get there at some point. But what would you say are like your three top tools that people can do?
I think what comes through right now is that probably not the necessarily generic top three, but for this conversation, the top three very practical applications that come through right now and where my heart is for the first one. The first one is a very powerful mindset shift back into your worth. And what do I mean by that? I find that a person can never outshine, out-imagine their self-image, and their self-image is a reflection of the awareness of their self-worth. So you come into the big hoorah motivational event and they're telling you to dream big, and you will dream to the degree that you can imagine, and you will imagine to the degree right. of your self-image, and your self-image is a reflection of your connection to self-worth. So then the most key thing to do is shift the self-worth. And it's on my heart now because I'm in the project right now of creating Worthy Me Journal. So everything is lined up with that. So the practical shift for that. All of us in our life have had things that happened to us that attacked our human dignity, and that we might have believed a lie made us unworthy of something. Secondarily, right. all of us have done things that we're not proud of, probably on a daily basis, that also tries to take a chip away at our worth. And so every event that ever happened to us and every event we ever caused is going to remain an enemy of worthiness until we do this very simple reframe. Well, right here, right now, you say, everything that has happened did not make me unworthy. It has simply been unworthy of me. Mm-hmm. That is the most healing reframe I've been able to arrive at for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients and students. Because when you really step into that, you overcome your number one enemy, which is shame. The yeah. shift from what happened, either to you or by you, made me unworthy. We're letting go of it right here, right now. And we now use it as a reminder. It was, or it is, unworthy of me.
It's unworthy of me. Yes.
And that
is so powerful. Yeah.
Just like just chills through the body. And so that's my passion project right now with Worthy Me Journal, which will help people reframe that with exercises. So that's number one, right here, right now. That frees you to fail forward. That frees you to forgive backward. Yes. That frees you, period. And so that's number one. So number one is worth. Number two that is coming in right now is that the centeredness. Mm. So you can only thrive out of your center. You can thrive physically, emotionally, and financially when you're in your center. How do you know you're not in your center? When you compare, criticize, or complain. And it all yes. starts with comparison. Because all criticism is you compare a person to what you think they should be. Complaining is you compare a situation to what you think it should be. And when you shift to what should be, you're at a center of what is. So the number two practical, very powerful shift is when you hear yourself whining, complaining, criticizing, or comparing, either feeling you're more off or less off, it doesn't matter. Either, oh my gosh, they have it all, or oh my gosh, they have nothing. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are there.
That's right.
The moment you catch yourself there, say verbally and imagine, say, I send love to this. Right here, right now, I send love to me, I send love to this person or circumstance, and I send love to the situation. The second you claim it verbally and you can imagine it through your either practices or simple imagination, just outpouring of energy of love into that, you free you to create out a place of love whatever you were lacking. Versus staying and recreating lack that you're witnessing. So
yes,
first your worth. Second, be very aware. I say notice what you notice because what you notice is what you create. So when you notice complaining, right. back to love. Just yes.
So yeah, let me interject there real quick. I was kind of giggling when you brought up complaining because at one point I'm remarried now and my husband said, you're complaining. And I'm like, I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. There's a difference. I'm explaining this. I'm not complaining. But lately I've been noticing like, oh, wow, I kind of complain. Like I didn't realize that I kind of complain about little tiny stuff, like nothing. It's like, you know, and I've been catching myself lately. So it's interesting that you bring that up because it's like, you just do it. It's such a natural, like we just do it.
Do
it's
it.
Just, I think it's just part of, yeah.
We do it.
But one thing that somebody had said, and I used to say this a long time ago, whenever I would recognize that I was placing a judgment on someone, because women, we're the worst at looking at other women. And, you know, you don't verbalize it all the time, but you think it, right? So anytime I would think that, and this was like, gosh, 30 years ago, and I stopped doing it, but it's still there. Someone said, what you say is, God bless them, help me. Yeah. Right? God bless them, help me, because it's me. I'm the one with the problem, not them. It's me.
Or just, you know, the same concept, just send love. When you say, I send love, I send love them to me into the situation, it recenters you into power of creating what you want. That's the second practical thing. And the third one, there's so many, but I think what comes in right now is give yourself permission to pursue what you want, not what others want for you, or not what you'd want. Just sit within yourself right now, right here, and say, what do I want? What do I want the most? What outcome do I want? And what outcome do I want the most? And give yourself permission to receive it. And the way you receive it is by giving it. So whatever you want to have, give it. Whatever you want to have, give it. Because when you give, you automatically receive more of it. So those are the three tips that come in as a practical application.
Those are brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and absolutely love that. So we could talk for hours, and I'm sure we will at some point when we'll get together. We can continue this conversation. But is there anything else that you want to talk about before we wrap things up?
I think two things that come to mind is that people want to manifest what's coming in, at least when I tune into your powerful audience, which what an audience you've created. When I tune into the energy of your audience, what a phenomenal sacred space you've built, Sandy. And I just, I'm going to ask anybody who listens to it right now, you guys, I'm going to ask you from my heart to yours, please send Sandy love, because only she knows what she's done over these years. Listen, this so often is a thankless job that just pour. Let's just pour. Okay, so that's that. Your homework is done. Oh, blessings.
Thank you.
So by what comes to me is that it seems like people right now are eager to manifest and are stuck. That's what I feel for where the audience is. They want to manifest and they're stuck. And so when I do a very practical approach teaching that people can apply immediately, number one energy that blocks any and all manifestation is the energy of grief. Why? Because we manifest through joy, and unprocessed grief is on the same spectrum of energy flow as grief. Joy and grief are processed through lungs, physiologically and energetically on the same thing. So by releasing grief, you will enhance immensely your ability to be in joy and as such to manifest. The tool I have for that is only like $20 a year, and that's Empower-Mia. I'll send it to Sandy if she chooses to put it on, great. But there's 99 aspects of grief there, because we are entering into common consciousness period of grieving like never before, which means a lot of your manifestations are blocked. It's normal, doesn't have to be the norm. That's number one. And number two for manifestation is, it's done through the law of magnetism, not the law of attraction. The law of attraction is one part of the law of magnetism. If you look at a magnet, it has a pole that attracts and it has a pole that repels. And so when you are working on the law of attraction, please understand that it'll repel people, places, and things out of your life. Don't be fearful and withdraw back. Welcome rejection in the same way that you are creating attraction. So for some reason, those two tips for manifestation came through, and there you have it.
Well, that's beautiful, because we are going through some remarkable times right now in the United States and all over the world for that matter. It's not just here. No. You know, there's people suffering all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And this is my gift to the world. You know, get your dose of happiness here. Get some tips. It's free, right? Where else can you hear such amazing experts such as Dr. Victoria Rader? I left the doctor off. Dr. Victoria Rader. And it's incredible. And thank you for what you're doing. And all of Victoria's information will be in the show notes. And you certainly reach out to her and check out everything that she has to offer. It's incredible. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. And I hope that you and your family are happy and healthy and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and quantum personal development. Take care, everyone.